The word of God given to us today is Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Allow me to read the script. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For, as I have often told you before and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. There is a playwright named Samuel Beckett who was born in 1906. He is one of the best writers in the 20th century. He was born in Ireland, but mastered French when young, and taught at a high school in Paris after majoring French and Italian in the university. Therefore, most of his writings were written in French. His well-known piece is Waiting for Godot, published in 1952. It was first written in French and later in English. It is known as the most perfect tragicomedy, which shows modern men who lost identity and have been deprived of hope. Through this masterpiece, Beckett became a Nobel laureate in literature in 1969. The play is composed of two acts and has only five characters. Act 1 takes place in the evening of a country road underneath a thin tree. Vladimir and Estragon, who are tramps, are waiting for a person named Godot. Their waiting started not only for a day or two, but for a long period of time. Yet, nobody knows who is Godot, or when and where he is coming from. Waiting now became their habit, and to fill in the boredom of waiting, they endlessly repeat nonsense questions, swearing, exercise, joke, and dancing. Still, they do not lose the glimpse of hope that everything will end once Godot arrives. By the time such waiting turns to despair, a boy tells them a message from Mr. Godot. Mr. Godot told me to tell you he won't come this evening, but surely tomorrow. Act 2 is not much different from Act 1. Act 2 is the day after the day of Act 1, but the place and time of the day are the same. Two people are waiting for Godot just like the day before. Although they are desperately waiting for Godot, there's nothing that they can do. They cannot even leave that place. Act 1 and Act 2 both have the same ending. Estragon said, "Well, shall we go?" Vladimir replied, "Yes, let's go." They do not move. When this play was premiered in the States, the producer asked Beckett who was Godot and what it meant. Beckett replied, If I knew, I would have said so in the play. So, people said that the meaning of Godot is freedom, bread, hope, or death. Moreover, some thought that because Godot sounds similar to God, it may mean God. Estragon suggests that they should go, and Vladimir agrees. But the fact that they do not move portrays modern men with no place to go. The same endings of Act 1 and Act 2 portray people of the past having nowhere to go, just like people of today. Just like people of today, people of future also do not have a place to go. Despite this, through Vladimir, the play confesses how modern people desperately wait for Godot. What are we doing here? That is the question. And we are blessed in this, that we happen to know the answer. Yes, in this immense confusion, one thing alone is clear. We are waiting for Godot to come. Today's scripture also testifies someone that we should wait for. The city of Philippi is keenly connected to the Roman Empire. In 365 BC, after Macedonian King Philip II, father of King Alexander, conquered the place, he named the city Philippi after his name. After that, in 168 BC, Philippi was conquered by Rome and became a province of the Roman Empire. Then in 42 BC, after allied force of Octavianus and Antonius defeated allied force of Brutus and Cassius in the Roman Civil War, in that place, they settled their soldiers with distinguished service in that civil war. Then, a war continued between Octavianus and Antonius. Roman civil war ended when Octavianus defeated allied force of Antonius and Cleopatra at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. And peace finally came to the Roman Empire. Octavianus, who became the emperor, named himself Augustus, and settled dispersed soldiers of Antonius and retired soldiers of his in Philippi. And they were governed by Roman law, just like citizens of Rome living in Italian peninsula. Therefore, they were exempt from being whipped or arrested in the act unless it was a serious crime, and had the right to appeal directly to the Roman emperor. Also, they were able to possess properties through sales of lands or houses, and had political rights to participate in city administration. As such, they tried to live like Roman citizens more so than people who lived in Rome. Citizens of Philippi considered the Roman emperor, who granted such economic and political privileges, as an absolute being. time of Augustus and 200 years thereafter is called Pax Romana, Peace of Rome. Moreover, Augustus proclaimed himself as the savior of the world. People of Philippi put all their hearts in eating, drinking, and pursuing desires, enjoying abundance of goods and peace delivered by the Roman emperor. To them, Roman citizenship was a proud thing, and they would have considered that there is no bigger wish than the Roman emperor himself visiting Philippi. However, Apostle Paul firmly says whose citizens Christians are and whom they should wait for. Verse 20 testifies as follows, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." At that time, Roman society was a caste system, and there were three castes. They were citizens, freemen, and slaves. Among those, slaves had the largest population. More than half of the Roman population was composed of slaves. Citizens were less than a quarter. Slaves were responsible for most of productivity-related works, while citizens participated in political activities or watched matches of gladiators in amphitheaters. For a non-Roman citizen to become a Roman citizen, he had to join Roman force and serve 21 years as a Roman soldier, or pay a large amount of tax from business. Therefore, people of Philippi were proud of their Roman citizenship. However, Apostle Paul said that our citizenship is in heaven. It means that just like people of Philippi who are proud of their Roman citizenship, although they live in a place far away from Italian peninsula, we should never forget that our citizenship is in heaven, although we live on this earth. It also means that just like people of Philippi who are proud to be governed by Roman laws, it should be our pride to be governed by the laws of heaven. Citizenship can be translated as nation or government. The first part of verse 20 can be translated as, "But our nation and government is in heaven." So we are waiting for the representative from the nation or government we belong to. He is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christians, the place is important, but the day and the person is also important. Three famous parables on the kingdom of God appears in chapter 25 of Matthew. They are parable of 10 virgins, parable on talents, and parable of sheep and goat. The parable of sheep and goat emphasizes the place. His glorious throne is the place of judgment, where the Lord, who is the Son of Man, calls every tribe and, just like a shepherd segregates sheep and goat, have sheep stand in his right side and goats stand in his left side. To which side we stand will determine our eternal fate. The parable of talents emphasizes the time. A master called his servants and based on their abilities distributed 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent to each of them. Servants who received talents made their living with them. The important thing for servants who received talents was that after a long time, the master will come back and settle their accounts. Detailed meaning of this parable will be discussed soon in your district Bible study. Life of people who are aware of the day his life will be counted cannot be same as those who are unaware of it. Awareness of the day determines eternal reward. The parable of 10 virgins emphasizes the person. 5 of 10 virgins were wise to prepare for enough oil, but the rest 5 virgins were foolish to have not enough oils. Whether they had enough or not enough oil, they were all waiting for the bridegroom. Even if they had enough oil, it didn't mean anything if the person to come is not bridegroom, but a servant or a horseman. 10 virgins who were waiting can go to the wedding party only if the bridegroom arrives. To us, the place, the day, and the person are all very important, but if we have to single out the most important among these, it would be the person. Without him, the place or the day has no meaning. We are waiting for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, our waiting becomes meaningless. With him, we can be happy in a hut or with little salary. However, without him, a palace is no different from a prison cell, and billions of dollars cannot give us true meanings. Our church's motto for 2011 was, "Wait for the Lord" in Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. The verse testifies as follows, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord." Wait for the Lord sounds quite passive and lethargic. However, that cannot be done unless you are strong, especially if your mind is not strong. Therefore, the verse does not simply say, "Wait for the Lord," but "Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Greek word of "wait for" is kava, which has the meaning of expect and place hope in addition to wait for. Therefore, waiting for God is to expect God and place hope in God. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29-31 testifies as follows. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Same word is used for hoping and wait for. God promises that those who hope in the Lord will have their strength renewed, that they will not grow tired and weary. It is because we cannot live righteously without such restoration by God. It is not difficult to find a person who gets knocked down in a grand game called life, no matter how strong he is or what a talented athlete he is. Also, we know well that no matter how much a person was envied for his wealth, such wealth cannot save him in a critical moment of life. We often hear a story of a powerful man that people envied and obeyed, has relied on his power, but his life goes down by a single incident. We often learn from newspaper and media about people who firmly believe that their knowledge, talents, or appearance will protect them forever, but become a subject of humiliation because of that. If what we wait for is not our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, it can give us only small pleasure or temporary help. If our lives are wrecked and damaged, or we are going to a wrong direction pursuing secular pleasures, it is because we grew tired of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are waiting for something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 testifies as to why we should wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Literal meaning of lowly bodies is humble bodies. It means bodies which are weak, sick, prone to temptation, and sinful. They are bodies lacking acts despite wishes from heart. Therefore, they are bodies destined to die and rot. Us, with such bodies, will have glorious body if the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us. The Lord has such power. The Lord died on the cross as a sacrifice, but resurrected on the third day from the dead, became a glorified body. Because the Lord has the glorified body, he will glorify our bodies as well. One of the songs which expressed a desperate longing for transformation of our lowly bodies is Prayer by Italian composer Tosti. The lyric goes as follows. To my confused mind of doubt and pain, come to my aid, O my Lord, shine thy light of faith. Lift from it the weight that makes it sink into the mud. I send my sighs and tears to thee, I entreat thee. You know that my life is slowly being consumed, like the candle wax by the flame, like the snow by the sunshine. To my soul, which yearns to take refuge in thy arm, I break, Lord, the lace that prevents it from flying to thee. Lord, have mercy. Our lowly bodies to be clothed in glorified body is an amazing experience, not even close to our transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. You may have following questions. What does it specifically mean to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it mean to stand still until Christ returns? There is a poem, While Waiting for You, by poet Huang Jiu. The last part of the poem well expresses the meaning of waiting. From a very far place I go to you. For a very long time you are coming to me. You, who are coming to me slowly from a very far place, I am going to you. While waiting for you, through the door that people come in and out, following every footstep pounding in my heart, I am going to you while waiting for you. Waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ is not a standstill, but proceeding to the Lord. The Lord is coming to us, and we are going to the Lord. As such, just like lyrics in a gospel, at the end of our road, we will meet the Lord, and the Lord of glory will greet us. Also, for us to wait for the Lord Jesus Christ means to diligently live through life given to us. In the parable of talents, servants who received 5 talents and 2 talents worked hard and earned another 5 talents and 2 talents. They did not know when their masters will return. However, they must have felt responsibilities and calling that they should live up to the talents that their master entrusted to them. Their lives were the best lives of waiting for their master. Their master told them as follows. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Today is Pentecost. People of this world wait for Godot today, just like yesterday. Through the lips of a boy, Godot is told to come tomorrow. But because Godot is not coming, people say that God does not exist. God would not come for men even if he exists. And God does not care for men's affair. Therefore, they say the best life is to be attentively listening to their heart. However, before ascending to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ told as follows to his disciples. It is Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The Lord clearly told his disciples, "Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard of me speak about." What the Lord spoke about is written in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is not a being that does not come, like Kodo, but is present with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Holy Spirit walks with us so that we can wait for the Lord Jesus Christ better. The Holy Spirit sometimes runs three-leg race with us so that we can run faster towards the Lord and sometimes give us a piggyback ride. The Holy Spirit encourages, cheers, establishes us so that we can live well the life given to us. If we walk with such Holy Spirit, we can live the best life of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day of our lives will be Pentecost. Let us pray. Till the Lord comes back to the world, I will go on this way. Narrow gate, narrow road, I will bear my holy cross. At the end of way that I'm going on, I will see the Lord, my majesty, holy God, glorious God. He comes out to welcome me till the Lord comes back to the world. I will stand up strong and run till the end. When the glory covers all the land, I will stand up tall and praise the Lord. Lord, my longing majesty, you are the God, the Savior God. Lord, my longing majesty, you are the King of all the earth. Father God, just like people of the world waiting for Godot, there were countless moments that we waited for Godot, which can fill our desires. Help this hour become a turning point of waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, not for Godot. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us and allowed us to have this Pentecost. With Holy Spirit, help us run to the Lord and live well the life that you have allowed us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.